everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. And we are very excited. I am very excited. We have a guest with us today, Solange Castro, comedian extraordinaire.
Oh, thank you.
From the Berkeley area. We have Steve Lawley.
Always, always. Honored to be here. It's a beautiful day in Burbank.
Yeah, and we have an inventor, entrepreneur who's watching our show today, Josh Skolsky, my buddy. And so we got a big day, and Aaron, our producer, and let's just jump right in. What the hell is going on with America? No, I'm kidding. America's collapsed. We know that. Given a wake-up call by a millennial who we read his email last week. He said, hey, pal, it's not collapsing. It has collapsed for a lot of people, you know. But you know what? We still have to keep going, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do you think America's collapsed, Solange?
I agree with the millennial. It has collapsed for a lot of people. And, you know, those of us for whom it hasn't collapsed, we're just lucky. You know, we're just still riding the wave or what's left of it. Before it crashes on the ocean, on the beach.
Yeah.
I just made up that metaphor for America.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually listened to that episode and I...
By the way, Solange has done tremendous research about this podcast. A lot of my guests come on. A lot of my guests come on, and they're like, you fucks, listening and watching. And they don't know what the fuck is going on with this podcast. But Solange Castro from Berkeley, who plays all over L.A., knows what's going on because she listened to the last episode. Was it a good listen? Did you watch it on YouTube?
Yeah, I listened to it on YouTube. And Howard Berger is my comedy buddy, who I haven't seen in a long time.
He wrote for Dangerfield. He wrote for Rodney Dangerfield. He's a great joke writer, yeah.
It was very funny. And
my favorite Howard Berger joke
is,
my wife went through the red light. She got the ticket. $450. It wasn't the ticket. It was that she didn't like her picture that she got in the mail, so she went through again to get a better picture. I think I just actually buffed.
It was clunky the way you told it.
The Howard Berger delivery is a little more depressed, though.
Yeah. Which works.
My wife. Yeah, he has very.
What
like,
is it with comedians and depression?
All right.
Are you depressed?
Let's get into it.
Are you depressed?
Well, I think that comedy.
I'm on 200 milligrams. Hold on 1 second. I'm on 200 milligrams of Zoloft. And nothing for me. I just like the taste at this point of antidepressants. I just like how they taste.
Speaking of the special. Eddie taped
a
pretty amazing.
You tell him, Steve.
Experience.
I just taped the special. What have you done out there? Yeah, what have you done? By the way,
who are you pointing at?
I don't know.
This is his,
we're on YouTube.
Let him do it.
On YouTube, but they're not hearing the audio, which is hilarious.
But we get to see ourselves on the monitor, which is
It looked like you're pointing to us.
This is the first day we both looked good, and we can't get video.
No, the video works.
It does work.
Right, we're gonna inlay the audio later, but we're on SoundCloud, so everything, you know, everybody's hearing us. But I just want to ask people out there, what the fuck did you do? I just taped the special.
I feel like I'm not doing enough. So right now I feel guilty.
Because you're a comic.
Yeah.
I believe that if you're not in show business, you're a coward. Okay? I don't care what you are. First responder, whatever. If you're not in show business, you're a fucking coward.
Cave diving for the Thai boys, you're a coward. If you dive...
If you're a servant to society...
By the way...
Teacher, nurse... Coward,
because we are the only ones who put ourselves on the line. These fucking people to go in. Oh, nurses helping people
showing up for students.
Oh, yeah, teachers. We are like out there getting fucking judged. It's like the Nuremberg trial. It's like I you should see the comments I get on YouTube sometimes. Like I went on Joe Rogan's podcast and everybody fucking hated
me. They hated
me.
You.
They were like, you. They fucking, and let me.
They hated Joe too, though, to be fair.
Did they?
Every other comment was they hated him. And then the
Joe?
Yeah. I read the comment. You showed me the episode.
Yeah.
And you, me and Matt, and every other comment was, I hate Eddie. Then the other one was, I hate Joe. Fuck
but
you,
what
Joe.
I'm saying
I
is
think that's
that.
Just YouTube, though. Most commenters hate what they're watching.
Right. And these nurses, teachers, firemen, they don't have to go through that. You're not on YouTube the way we are.
All right.
So he taped a special, everybody. That was really great.
I'm sorry
I missed it.
If
I'd known, I would have been there.
It was beautiful, and one of the beautiful things was we were standing in the lobby waiting, and the guy kept coming in and putting a record, a jazz record, I don't know if it was Charles Mingus or something, kept cranking it up in the lobby, and I went, oh yeah, this is a Pepitone special. Then we get in there, and we're in the lobby, and I can hear you, you know? Now, I've seen you a few
times. Because I'm doing the first show.
The first show.
You're coming
still,
for the second
right, but
show.
We can hear the first show in the lobby, and you're doing your bits, and I thought, he's on top of it, because I've seen you a few dozen times now, and it's never been the same. It's never the same set.
Yeah, I like to improvise a lot.
But you were on it, and then the second show you did, I could hear the same. So you stayed on it. You stayed on your set, which was pretty amazing for a Miles Davis kind of performer.
I like to improvise.
So which one are you going to use, the first
well,
one
Well, what
the
they
second
do
one?
Is my director, Steve Fine Arts, it will edit it, and they'll take,
his
you
name
know,
is Steve Fine Arts.
You believe it?
That's his real name.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Wow. Some people are just chosen to do
I
something.
Know.
Yeah.
I know. Fine Arts. He's a great guy. And he did my first Netflix special. He did The Bitter Buddha, the documentary about me. Did you know there was a documentary about me?
No. Is it on
so
Netflix?
Your research yeah. isn't yeah. that good. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
I'm busted.
By the way, we researched Solange.
Extensively.
This was my research.
They thought I was the person that works here.
This was my.
I did. I was like, hi, Rachel. Do you know I schooled
did you
her?
Yeah. Oh,
I was
no,
like, hi, Rachel.
That's even worse. And he's met Rachel. The actual Rachel, who came in later. But this is how we researched Solange. We're in the car. Eddie says, you know, we have a guest today, right? I said, no, nobody told me we have a guest. We're three blocks from the studio.
Look, this is a well-put-together podcast. We brief each other. It's like a briefing. It's like the Pentagon.
I got this gig through a recruiter for advertising. So it shows you how the world works.
Chatsworth Actors Guild? Because that's one of our big sponsors.
Right. We have a great sponsor. Matter of fact, but did you finish about how good I was on this?
Truly.
No,
truly,
do you want to say anything about
I do want to say something.
Solange
I want to
just
say,
taped the special, too.
For those of you who, you know, are inundated with a sea of mediocrity of comedy specials now on Amazon and Netflix, and Comedy Central's really the perpetrator of mediocre comedy. But when you find this guy's comedy special, it will be a throwback to the 70s and 80s when you were watching comedy and it actually meant something. It wasn't just some showcasing monkey dancing going, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
How do you really feel about comedy, Steve?
That's why I'm here.
I'm not getting it.
It's very hard for me to take in compliments. So this week has been very hard because so many people have complimented me.
Because you
me.
Killed it. Oh, I can't wait.
I did well, you know, but I, you know, we were talking about the psychological makeup of a comic a little bit. It's hard for me to feel the love or feel the compliments because I'm always thinking, I fucked up. I mean, that's my big thing. I fucked up. You know what I mean? I'm always thinking of.
Yeah, and in my research of you, all I've ever heard is that everybody loves you. Like,
really?
Everybody I talk to is like,
God, it's so hard for me to take in that I'm great. Imagine I go the other way and I'm just this egotistical fucking moron.
This is it. After the special,
after the
you're not going to be the same guy.
I start being like Jerry Lewis. Like I talk. Eddie said, you know how Jerry Lewis talked about it? He said Jerry. He would refer to himself in the third person.
Really?
You never heard that?
No, I never heard that.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis. So
you'll start calling yourself Eddie.
Yeah. What do you think, comedians?
Oh, what do I think of comedians? Well, it's a rough road. I feel like it's not something. Well, I personally did not choose it.
You didn't?
Not consciously. I never thought I want to grow up and be a stand-up comic. Although I always loved comedy and I was always drawn.
Who
to
are your
it.
Favorites?
I think Steve Martin is probably my
is that
biggest
right?
inspiration. Yeah,
I and loved Eddie Murphy. Him when he first came on this.
Yeah, scene, yeah. Eddie Murphy's
no,
hilarious.
Not a woman, not a woman.
I didn't really have that exposed to me.
I loved Lily Tomlin, but
oh,
I'm older
loved,
than you.
No, I loved Lily Tomlin.
I loved her.
Yeah, I actually just saw 9 to 5.
Really? For
the other
I
night.
Didn't see it. I saw
no,
8
for like the millionth time.
I saw 8 to 4, which not as good.
Not
the
cable 10 to version. 6.
What was that?
I said not 10 to 6.
10 to 6. No, 10 to 6, I couldn't say.
That's the West Coast version. What
that would be
time.
12 to 8 on the West Coast. 12 to 8
for lazy comics would be yeah 12.
I'm trying to think of the great female comics growing up, like
well Gilda
Phyllis
Radner.
Diller, yeah, well, Gilda Radner, definitely, like the old SNL people. I not old SNL, but just when I grew up, they were big idols of mine too, and I loved SNL. I loved comedy.
Isn't SNL the worst now?
I haven't seen it. To me,
right.
It's like
you lost
I don't
interest,
even
right?
think about it.
I mean, there's Baldwin doing Trump, but
I don't
other
know.
Than
I
that,
wonder. I mean, I think about this a lot, and I don't. Sometimes I feel like when you're like, you know, because I end up sounding very like back in my day, you know, because when I started comedy, yeah. I felt like everyone was a real comic. Comedy was not cool. Like I didn't. If I told somebody I did stand up in the 90s, they were like, "Why? You know, that's weird. What
really?
Is wrong with you?"
Now, what do you say, huh? You're out there fighting fires while we're putting our lives on the
just
line.
Let him.
I love this mythical person you're speaking to. This who's is, not in the room, but
I have a lot of imaginary people I talk to.
I probably do too. We probably all do.
I feed squirrels in the park. Do you do anything like
no.
that?
No, squirrels carry diseases and stuff.
I love
I'm
them.
I'm afraid of nature.
Well, you don't you have are. To yeah. you don't actually have to hand it to them. You just throw it out there.
What I realized, I had bird mites in my apartment and what I cuz I had
what were they called?
I let birds nest on my porch, which you should never do, and they're their poop creates bird mites and they find a host and feed off them. It's happened to other people. It was such
God.
A nightmare. It turned me
like
off
the
at
fucking
all
John Carpenter.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
It's like a John Carpenter movie.
A
fucking
Hitchcock,
the thing.
Hitchcock
yeah,
because of the
totally,
bird.
Yeah.
No, but it's good that you let them nest on your porch.
Not
and
anymore.
If disease comes into your house, so be it, you know. Let's take care of nature. Let's take care of nature. I'm vegan.
Okay, we're on to veganism.
No.
We were talking about comedy.
Yes.
And like if you choose to be, I feel like it's something inside of you that you can't.
I agree.
You can't control it. You just, it's
did
just
you feel
there.
Like that with comedy? Like
Not at first. I mean, I was 19. I was in.
That's
in,
young.
And I was young and I was just looking for I was like, well, maybe if I do this thing I'm really afraid of, it'll yield me some. This thing that really scares me, it'll yield me some better life.
Do you know that the most successful shrinks right now are saying that you have to like go into your fear, like you have to like anything that frightens you, like just fucking go into it,
right.
You know? And like, in other words, a great running back in football, the reason why he's great is he's not afraid of getting hit.
Well,
like
Walter
they want to get
Walter
hit.
Payton and Jim Brown, the two greatest.
Was
they
Walter
would,
Payton like that?
He would hit the guy before the guy would hit him.
Same type of thing with us. It's like we have to do the things that we're so fucking afraid of.
Well, what
you know?
About you?
But
know,
instead, I eat a lot. I overeat. I overeat at night. Vegan macaroni and
bed?
Cheese. Do you know what I had last? Yes, I ate in bed last night. With my wife.
The best place
Dude,
to eat.
This guy could do a full Chinese dinner 20 minutes before he goes on and does a spot in the main room at the
oh
comedy
my God.
Store.
No.
You're
no,
one
I,
of the
I can't
you're one
do
of
that.
The full belly comics.
I can't do that.
You have
and
done
I'm not
it.
Proud of this. I'm not proud of the fact, folks. I am proud of the fact that I'm a comic and you people, God knows what you do. God knows. You barely keep it together out there, I know. And I'm a man of the people, yet I don't like the people. You know, that's a contradiction.
A man of some people.
Yeah. You know what you are? You're a face in the crowd. Andy Griffith, a face in the crowd. Remember him?
Mm-hmm. Well, describe that. It's a movie, Face in the Crowd. I know most of you are watching fucking Transformers.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
Your crowd doesn't watch The Bachelor. But Andy Griffith is he's a convict. He's in jail. Have you seen this?
Face in the
Ilya
Crowd.
Kazan.
This is a movie?
You're from Berkeley.
This is a movie.
This is an incredible. This
from
is
from what
back,
year?
Josh, have you seen A Face in the Crowd? Our guest, Josh. Yes. No.
All right. Well, that makes
me
feel
like he's got a great product, though.
Really,
that he's going to
really. I know he's got a great. And those are the guys that win in life. The
That's
ones who
true.
Haven't seen.
Josh
the
is going to be a rich fuck.
That's right.
He's going to be a rich fuck.
So, A Face in the Crowd. Andy Griffith, convict, very erudite, beautiful. Patricia Neal comes in with her PBS radio show to get the mirth and the, you know, whatever. And he charms her. He charms her and she brings him on the radio show, kind of like you and me. And he brings him on she brings him on the radio show. He becomes a big celebrity, leaves her behind, but he's a megalomaniacal psychopath. And, and
sounds like a
someone,
typical showbiz story.
Someone leaves his microphone on. Leaves his microphone on an outtake on a live show, and he's talking about how everybody out there are idiots and how the contempt he has for them.
Well, I say it on the
you
mic.
You just said it.
It's different.
I have contempt for everybody out there.
Right. That's why your audience isn't grown.
Is that it? Well, then I want to change gears. I respect everybody. I think it's very hard for everybody right now, and thank you for listening, everybody. You ever hear the radio guys who are like, hey, thank, like all the fucking radio guys I hear, or gals, they're all like, you know, thanks so much for joining me today, you know.
It's the NPR voice.
Everything. Yeah, whatever. It's all these people like, oh, just welcome everybody. It's so great that you're listening in.
Thank you very much.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's pretty good. Wow.
No, but,
you're making me do it.
Well, maybe you should read an ad. We have ads.
Yeah.
We have a couple of
calls.
I'll
do my best NPR voice. There's a whole article on it, on the NPR voice, and how, like, especially women have to talk very low and not crackle, not have, like, a high-pitched crackle.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
there's
a DJ.
People. There's a DJ on Sirius XM, Little Stevie's Underground Garage. Do you know it?
I do.
Mm-mm.
I know you do. Solange, do you know Little Stevie's Underground Garage on Sirius?
Not
Are you a rock fan? What do you like musically? And don't tell me Renaissance Fair music.
Carnival.
Damn. Okay. Second favorite kind of music is I told you I do a lot of salsa dancing.
Oh, salsa.
I'm actually half Mexican.
Solange is a big salsa dancer. And you're half Mexican?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I told you my mother worked for Cesar Chavez. Not that you have to
this
be Mexican.
This is great.
I love that.
Yeah. I love that. Solange's mother worked for Cesar Chavez. And my dad was a union leader for the teachers, you know.
Oh, wow.
And Chavez just was big. He got real kind of famous for organizing lettuce growers. Do you remember that? Your mother worked for him.
Cesar Chavez? Well, grapes was the
Was
grape
it grapes?
Boycott. Maybe lettuce too, but grapes for sure.
What was the boycott again? Like, don't buy grapes. He was telling everybody, don't buy fucking grapes there. Boy, and the farm workers are not doing, I mean, it's still so exploitative. And it's more exploitative. That's why I say America's collapse is because, the working people are just fucked.
I mean,
everybody's in the gig economy.
You can't live in a city like LA, New York, you know.
And they
Bay
keep
Area.
Raising rents. They keep raising rents, you know.
Well, that.
I think what it is, what I think it is, are just, there's just no bottom line in capitalism. And it's just this embracing this, like, just.
Capitalism.
Gain money with no bottom line, no sense.
Look,
of
we all need money because we're in this system now, but capitalism
is
brutal.
Hedges mentioned it in that article.
I
forget the
article.
Exact language he used, but there was one just juicy statement where he said he talked about Americans having a difficult time reconciling like a confusion surrounding what we do with our wealth. And how we distribute it, and this sort of like tectonic shift. I mean, I'm putting in my own words, but he was specifically speaking to the confusion that America's dealing with, like with capitalism and corporatism and socialism, and you know, socialism is an un-American word. You know, socialism means communism, and anyway, I'm drifting off.
I need to read this
I'm
article.
Lost in the statement, but
I just think that, I mean, just somebody who's worked a lot in corporate America and just I just don't share that. I mean, I need money to live, but I don't, money as like an end in itself is not interesting to me, you know, like I would much rather see homeless people on the street, you know, there's just a weird culture that I don't think is the case I know for a fact all cultures don't, even if their countries are not as successful, they don't share the same.
Our country isn't successful anymore.
Not anymore.
Most people are mentally ill in this country, you know?
I think our country probably makes people mentally ill. The stress of it alone.
Yes.
But I have a couple friends
And thank you for joining us.
I have a couple friends who just came from Spain. And everyone talks about how great Spain, even though the unemployment rate's pretty high, but there's sort of like more of a
joy. They sleep a lot.
Yeah, there's more of
I want to sleep in Spain.
And drinking and eating and staying out late and just kind of living your life, which we don't have that here.
Yeah, because rents are high. You feel like you got to make money constantly.
Well, if you don't, next week you might not have a place to live.
So fucked.
That's kind of how it is. I mean, you can't rent.
I want to move to Italy. I'm Italian, you know, and I want to. I want to live in Sicily, right by Mount Vesuvius, which may blow at any time.
That'd be a better way to go than the slow decline.
And just, you know, sipping, you know, red wine and eating pizza, and talking to my fellows, you know, playing bocce ball. You know, I'm getting to that age, you know.
Is that the plan?
No. No, I'm just kind of drifting off into a fantasy. I mean, I would love to. I mean, but it's stressful here, right? I mean, it's also, there. The highs are high here, like taping a special. And like, you know, when you are a success here, it's a big kind of thing. But I think what's fucked up about the system is that like we don't bring each other up, like we're all so focused on our own success, and our success sometimes or a lot of times is built on the backs of other people. I mean, these fucking billionaires, you know, they like Trump made his fortune on the backs of people. He never paid contractors, you know, blah 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 blah. I mean, like they make money not through a great product, and all, and capitalism now is just a speculative casino speculation type game with hedge fund managers. We don't produce anything. The manufacturing base is gone. And I just want to say thank you, everybody, for joining us. We have a positive message too here, you know, and we have great sponsors. I'm going to read the first. You want to read, Steve?
Yeah.
Sure. The first ad is, now we have sponsors. This one is Cream Condoms Goop. And Cream Condoms has been with us for a while. They haven't paid us yet.
They paid us in condoms.
But they haven't paid us. But they're a great company. And we're going to have Steve read. These are written by Matt Rasamoto.
I love Cream Condoms. And Cream Condoms, thank you.
I know you do.
For sending Eddie and I that... that batch
of goop
that we shared.
Well, go ahead,
we shared that batch.
Cream condoms.
The world's first liquid condom is now available on goop.com, a well-known and trusted medical resource on all things that can be crammed inside a woman's body. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you know about Cream Condoms pupil stage, how it goes on feeling like a mix of crunchy peanut butter and roofing tar. The drying stage, how it heats up as it bonds with human flesh, an experience well known to be responsible for Mitch McConnell's permanent O-face. And the final stage, its hardened, bristled finish with the trademark sexual feel of grinding face of a creature from Where the Wild Things Are. Goop.com says cream condoms are a storm front of sexual taboos, with the feeling of using a broom handle to stuff oneself with iron wool and twisting it until the raw bone is exposed, accompanied with the burning smells of Beijing factory fire. Mm. Now sex with any man can feel like sex with Charlie Sheen. Supplies are limited, so order your jug of cream condoms today. Thank you, Cream Condoms.
God, that's good.
Sounds like a really great sponsorship deal there.
They're good. They just haven't paid us, you know, which
corporate
sucks.
America.
Now, what's that
there?
Now, we also get calls, by the way, and you could leave a message for us. Let's see. Where is the number? Ah, great. You could leave a message for us, folks. Oh, yeah, Matt. and we get calls, but we haven't had many calls lately, and I feel that that's on you out there. I feel that that's on you because I ask every week for people to call, and sometimes there's a bunch of calls, but lately not as many. But if you want to leave a comment for the show, just, you know, let us know. We our number is 424-262-0904, 424-262-0904. And the first message here, check this message out, folks.
He who has no messages on his voicemail machine will be one who has a machine that has no voice messages on it.
Now, how pathetic. Now, thank you, sir, for that call. But he who has no messages on his voicemail machine will be one who has. So that's the kind of, you know, folks, you got to step it up. Here's another one. Here's another message. Came in just a little while ago.
Hey, Ed, it's David. Long time, first time. I just had a question. I want to know if this is you. It sounds like you. Right, give it a sec.
Get ready for an outstanding entertainment program, The Jimmy Dore Show.
So is that you?
No.
And if so, you know, why are you hyping Jimmy Dore's? I like Jimmy Dore's podcast, but why are you hyping his like that with your rich baritone voice and not your own show? All right, I'll take my answer off the air.
Off the air.
Thank you, sir. David, thank you. That's Ron Lynch.
Oh, that was.
That's Ron Lynch, David, not me. And I always tell people to listen to Jimmy Dore because Jimmy Dore has got it right politically. Great podcast.
But that didn't sound anything like you. I didn't think that sounded
anything.
Well,
David,
like
you know. Anyway, let's see. And we have one more call from Steven's friend.
Oh, you want to play it? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We have a. This is a longer call. So here we go. Bear with us, Solange will be. And folks,
I'm still here.
So please call us, folks. Please call us. You see what we're dealing with.
Hi, Eddie and Steven. This is Steven's friend from Florida. First, I want to say hi to Eddie, and nice to virtually meet you. Then I wanted to also obviously say hi to Steven and let you know I miss you and our time together. So as a result, I decided to create a top 10 list with the category as top 10 memorable moments with Steven when he was here visiting Florida. So ready? Here you go. This is a drum roll. Number 10, Vanilla Kite Hill Yogurt.
Now, what is she saying? This is someone...
I brought her yogurt. It's not it's not a metaphor for something else. I brought her vegan yogurt.
Like, did you? Yeah. Is she vegan?
She's not, but she wanted to, I told her about it. It's made from cashews. Anyway, it's made from almonds. I can't eat that shit, you know, real yogurt anymore. Anyway, I brought her this yogurt. She apparently liked it. That's it.
Okay. So she's doing a top 10 list.
Yeah.
Steven, this is a friend, right?
Yeah.
She's doing a top 10 list. And folks, we need calls is what I'm saying. We need calls. We were getting some really good calls, right? But we'll see how many we go through.
Riding a trolley for the first time in my own neighborhood.
There was a trolley there?
Yeah, she lives on the beach and there's a trolley. We can keep going with the top 10 list.
I mean, we have trolleys out here. There's one in the Grove. Have you ever been on the Grove trolley?
That's what I was thinking.
Folks, if you ever get to
it's
LA,
a bus.
You have to go on the Grove trolley.
It looks like a trolley, though. It takes you like 100 feet.
It takes you a few feet. I like to smoke a big doobie and get on the Grove.
Anymore.
I know. And get on the trolley and just be
and
like...
And then watch the water show.
God, the trolley. Okay, here we go.
Number 8. My cat pissing on the boots I wore on our first date.
Yes, her cat pissed on the boots she wore, mm-hmm. and the entire bedroom smelled like cat pee.
Folks, please call in.
Number 7, hanging my mom's mezuzah.
Yes.
Number 6, my porn confession to my mother. Number.
What was her porn? Wait, she had a porn there. Convention to her
porn,
mother.
Porn confession.
Confession, I mean.
Yeah.
Convention.
She found, her mother found her father's porn Playboy magazines. There were apparently like 1,000 Playboy magazines. So.
Did her mother know about these?
Yeah, her mother was trying to tell her, I don't want to talk about this on the phone. But she kept saying, no, Mom, I want to get those magazines and sell them online. They might be worth some money. I was the one who suggested they might be worth. Anyway, that's it. Okay.
5, our Playboy scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
What
same
was that?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Number 4, my throat chakra clearing experience. Number 3, learning Stephen was actually telling the truth about not having sex for a whole year. Number 2, those yummy, yummy, yummy Brussels sprouts. And number 1, even yummier than the Brussels sprouts, was the New Year's Eve kiss that Stephen gave me when the clock struck 12 for 2019. Bam! So there you have it. Sorry for my not-so-great drum roll. Have a wonderful day, and happy hump day. Bye.
Well, that was kind of sweet, actually.
Yeah, I love Steve's, like, kind of embarrassment about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't expect, I didn't know it was going to be some of those things.
It's kind of romantic.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in. What is her name again?
Well, she'll remain anonymous.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think we want anonymous. To do okay. names.
Thank you, Anonymous, for, you know, giving some love to Steven.
all kinds of love.
All kinds of love. Okay. Yeah. So where were we in the Pantheon? We talked about
Collapse.
My special. Yes. What was your experience with the special? You said that you
so
also...
So mine was an album. So it was just audio. But I would say leading up to it, I woke up every night at 2 a.m. could not go back to sleep for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Now
I was
that
exhausted.
Is... That is... I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm so glad it's over. I'm so glad it went so well.
It was
well.
One of the hardest things I've ever done, and I had no idea it was going to be that hard. And first of all, it's very hard to get like 30, 40 minutes of stage time anywhere in LA. So like finding places to do long sets is a huge challenge. So I was doing it in front of my, like my friends had me, I went to their place and just did it for them.
Yeah.
I did it for my neighbor over Skype. I did, oh no,
that's
she was traveling. So I Skyped my whole set for her because where am I gonna get 30 minutes of stage time? I have a hard time. I think that's just, LA is all about like ridiculously short sets, like 3 minutes here, 4 minutes there, maybe a 10, 15 minute set, at least for me. So it was just the whole doing that, and I'm not as an experienced comic, so I had not had that experience of being on stage for that long.
Oh, you did?
Pulling all my jokes together. Yeah, so it was a big challenge for me, and I was just like...
So you never really did an hour. Did you do an hour for the special?
No, it's not even an hour.
How long is it? Five,
it's like
10 minutes?
40 minutes.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was
12 minutes. Yeah.
12 minutes.
The 12-minute special.
$9.99 on iTunes. No, I mean, it's...
No, I know what you're saying.
But it was... I realized that like doing comedy at that level is a whole other game. Like being a headliner... It's a whole other deal I had not.
It took me a while to get used to doing that. Like, it's like getting over a hump, you know.
It's like working
like
out. It's
you're
like,
used to
it's like
doing,
being a marathon runner. You know what I mean? You're going a lot.
Working out
distance.
Is another thing I do, which is amazing. Like, I just came from the gym and I just hit the weights like crazy.
Eddie has a trainer, by the way.
I have a trainer 3 times a week, you know. Josh is a big workout guy too, right, Josh? Yeah. Josh Skalski is with us in the what?
You need me. That's what you need.
Ah, Josh is fucking, look at him. He's cut he's like a.
Look at that.
We were, I think Solange and Josh were kind of getting to know each other here in the studio before the podcast.
I thought he looked familiar.
Yes, that's a good line. That's what guys say to women.
Don't you wish that women came up to you?
That's what it means.
Women come up to you all day, Eddie.
A couple weeks ago, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but yeah, it is tough.
So I was terrified, and it just stressed me out, and it was a huge relief to have it done. And also, the reason why I did it, my friend produced it. My friend Kyle Clark started a comedy label called Radland Records, and he's going to be producing albums.
Is it out there? Is it hit the
streets? It's out there. So my album's
called... Where can people get it?
It's on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and YouTube. It's called A Journey of Self-Discovery.
Nice. So
and
we're
it's produced
it.
By Radland Records. He's also producing Tom Goss and Keith Carey's albums.
I love how she looks at me. I don't I don't know who.
She knows I don't know these people.
I'm glad I got their names right. No, they're young, really like hardworking, hilarious comics. Very different from me, so he's got a wide a very diverse palette of comedy tastes.
Here's the thing. I love when people produce or they're going to... Like me, I did one called Accidentally Funny Live from Florida when I was touring. It was a fucking disaster. Yeah, it was a disaster. Everything went wrong. The mic cord fell out.
For your special.
Yeah, that's why I called it Accidentally Funny because everything... It was just... I had to change mics in the middle of the show. It was just...
By the way, my special went great. And it's super professional, and it's, you know, look for it. We'll see where it winds up. We're hoping Netflix, but maybe Comedy Central. We'll see.
My question for you was, were you surprised at how well, like, I know you're having anxiety, but it seemed like it was just effortless for you. It seemed like you just, not that you're not great, but I've seen you lift the fucking thing out of the ditch at the Comedy Store, and you didn't have to do that on these.
No.
You didn't have to lift the thing out of the ditch.
No, I was ready to go. And plus, it was like a home crowd. Like, everybody was there to see me.
That's how I had, like, all my people came. So I had the most supportive audience. I could not have asked for a better...
You're right.
A better situation.
Right. That's how you want your special to be, man.
Right. But you get to tour, and you get to get spots.
I'm going to Chicago tomorrow, by the way. I want to promo that. I'm going to go to LincolnLodge.com, folks. I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm performing February 22nd and 23rd. Go to LincolnLodge.com and see me. After that, I'm going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin in April. I think, Australia fell through. I was going to do Australia, but there wasn't enough money.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
And that's a long flight to go there
I went there with... I wasn't doing comedy. I went with Maria Bamford just to be like her support. This is years ago to the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
I did Melbourne once. Yeah that was really amazing. Fun. That is intense, you know? And I did Edinburgh Fringe Festival twice, which almost killed me both times.
Why?
But they were great experiences.
Why?
Because it was doing 27 shows in 28 nights and an hour, and my voice.
Wow.
I scream a lot, you know, on stage because I'm trying to, you know, give voice to the people. Who, by the way, thank you for joining us. And we have another ad here. This one is from Samsung Galaxy 10. And they are a new sponsor. And here we go. The new Samsung Galaxy S10 phone is here. And sweet holy Jesus, is it amazing. The Samsung Galaxy S10 can actually charge other phones and devices wirelessly, just as predicted in Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive. Samsung phones have come a long way from being banned on airplanes and exploding. This new phone just oozes power as it sits in your pocket next to your genitals, radiating energy. And with the S10's 5 pro-grade cameras, you can capture that red patch on your thigh turn from a rash into a hard lump with stunning accuracy and detail. As the first phone with 5G and Wi-Fi 6 technologies, the Samsung Galaxy X10 can direct you to urgent care faster than any phone that came before it. With its patented underscreen thumbprint technologies, the S10 can instantly update your medical history, allowing your health provider to increase your premiums, giving you the choice between joining the ranks of the working poor or death. Samsung, remember when you thought exploding phones were bad? So thank you, Samsung Galaxy 10, written by Matt Rossimoto, our producer.
Yeah, man.
That's got to be a good sponsor.
They're great. I mean, their phones are so powerful now that they can affect your lives to the point of you not having anything to live for.
That's right.
And I think that's the purpose of these phones, you know. So we have no more. How many minutes are we in, Aaron? 40? Okay, good. Steven, do you have anything to promote?
Yeah, I will be at the Culver City Comedy Jam.
Is this the place you've played before?
Yes, it's going to be my every other Tuesday. So if you're in L.A., there's this very cool Kyle T. Hefner, who's a...
Oh, I know Kyle.
Who's a... Right.
Is he related to you?
No, he looks like me.
He's an actor.
No, you Hefner. Is he related to you?
Oh, I thought he said, is he related to me?
I wouldn't think he's related to you.
You said you.
You Hefner. How do you say you? I'm New York.
Hugh.
Hugh.
You have to get the H sound.
I don't have the...
Is he related to you? That's what you said.
Look, folks.
That was a great...
I'm not perfect. Look,
Abbott on Costello.
I had a great special. I know. What's funny is you took it like Hugh took it. No, you took it like, you know. No, he's not related to me. Like, why would I ask you? Is he related to you? What's his last name? Hefner. Is he related to you?
Because everyone who books you is related to you.
Yeah, right.
Actually, yeah. That's...
No, I know Kyle, and he's an actor who was in Flashdance. He's
Runaway
been in
Train.
All
I told
these
you about
big
it.
Movies. Yeah,
we should have really him experienced. On, actually.
He also is doing stand-up comedy now.
Well, he's an old comic from the 80s. He was doing stand-up with in 82, 83.
Was he in Punchline?
I don't think so. That was Barry Sobel.
Okay.
Ah.
Yeah.
Sally Field learned stand-up in about 3 days
in
that movie.
Yeah, she was an inspiration for me.
Oh, well, there we go.
Maybe that was one, but she wasn't funny. I like Tom Hanks, but she did it. Yeah. She learned it.
Sally Field.
Like Mrs. Maisel, kind of like just.
Right. Right. That's my problem with Mrs. Maisel.
No, it's my problem with it, too.
Is it called The Marvelous, Mrs.
Yeah.
Maisel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where she becomes a comedian overnight. It took me about 20 years to get...
And gets on stage and talks.
And she gets drunk?
She gets naked first. She gets on drunk, gets on stage,
she's
takes
in her
shirt
she's
off.
In her nightgown. Anyway,
I saw it. I saw it. She doesn't get naked.
And she's not funny. And I feel like if you're not... She's not really doing stand-up, so... I'm with you guys. I have a problem with that.
Would you like to read an ad?
Sure.
Solange?
How?
We were talking about your NPR voice.
What voice in an NPR voice?
No, whatever you want to do. It's for Pea Cigarettes. They're a new sponsor. Thank you, Pea Cigarettes, and I hope you're different than the other sponsors.
I'm surprised you're letting a cigarette company sponsor you, being a liberal.
Well, you'll see why. Here we go. Peace Cigarettes, Solange,
Americans.
Castro.
I'm going to do an NPR voice. Okay. Americans smoke less and less each year while pet adoptions are on the rise. Where most companies see problems, Philip Morris sees solutions. Peace Cigarettes bring the pleasure of a good smoke to pets with a special blend of herbs and flavors pets love. Peanut butter anus, cheesy litter box, Nutsack potpourri, dead animals in a pile of shit, hot vomit. All these flavors are soaked in nicotine, draped with more tar than a car tire. and are proven to be 14 times more addictive than human cigarettes. Because nothing is cuter than a pug smoking a cigar, and nothing is more frightening than that same pug when you take its cigar away. Before you call the good people at Philip Morris monsters, ask yourself, what is worse, getting your pets addicted to cigarettes or depriving your Instagram of all those adorable smoking pet photos? Pee cigarettes. Because puppies with lung cancer are super cute, and social media will thank you.
Oh,
man. We should have Solange come in and just read.
That was excellent.
Ads for us.
Good. That I was told excellent.
I auditioned for a commercial with Cardi
That's
B
right.
today.
That's right.
We didn't understand.
Cardi B was not there, but she's really got the spot.
I remember we were talking about this off the air, and I didn't know who Cardi B was. You pointed out that she was in an ad with Steve Carell.
Right.
For Pepsi.
Yeah.
During the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was her.
Yeah.
With the nails.
With the nails. What a culture. What a fucking culture.
Yes, as you can see, Eddie and I don't appreciate that.
No, but I hope I just famous people doing commercials is just so disgusting.
Well, the thing is, I think the thing with her that's more interesting is that she's like grew up poor, you know, and she's making it big time. I mean, she's getting real wealth.
It sounds like she's all about money, though. Is she?
Well, she's a rapper, and she's not. Mm-hmm. I to be honest, I don't really listen, but she's not like mm-hmm. without substance. She's very like fiery and
I'm gonna listen to a Cardi
B. I like
B.
her personality, but I think the thing that people are always interested in is like the rags to riches, just the ascension. Those few people that do seem to somehow succeed and. I mean,
rags to riches.
I know that's such an old cliche way of saying. I don't know, but
it used to happen a lot in this country. Yeah. But and now
it seems impossible now.
By the way, to point out that in order to make it in music, you have to be a commercial. It's not like the old days where you could have a hit and tour, and you almost have to be pimped out by some major corporation, and
that's where you
very depressing. It's very depressing. That's why we don't really have like.
But what about the new media? Like everybody talks about, no, you don't have to go through the usual gatekeepers.
It's
you can
bullshit.
Put it on YouTube.
It's bullshit.
You can
Well, there are YouTube stars. There are supposedly millions of YouTube stars that are making
millions?
It's some huge number.
I
want to
be a YouTube
million,
star.
Who are making
I mean,
a
they
million
can't
dollars.
Hear us right now because the video's down, so they're looking at us. Oh, they can? Hello everybody. Sorry, I didn't think you could hear me out there.
You thought we could they could just see us but not hear us
on YouTube.
Oh,
anyway, YouTube stars are hilarious to me.
Yeah,
like what do they
but
do?
they are a thing. I mean they are successful, and but they're in a weird it's a weird kind of famous.
Have you ever watched a quote-unquote YouTube star, like what they do? Like have you ever gotten hooked on one? Like
never.
Check this out, I was filming a movie, and this isn't to brag. Yes, maybe I dropped that. I mean, I was filming a movie, Eric Andre's movie. He's coming out with a new movie, Eric Andre. And it was being shot in a video store. And this guy, I was in the back, right, waiting to go on. And this guy had on his monitor some YouTube star talking about just their life. Oh, I think their makeup. People, they told me, like they would
makeup is huge on YouTube.
They would make each other up, like she makes up her friends, and I'm fucking watching this, right? And I consider myself an intellectual. I mean, I read Dostoevsky. Right before I go to bed, I always read something from Crime and Punishment, or
Tolstoy
to help him get to sleep.
I'm into the Russians. I know the Russians. Are getting
very,
a lot of
very
bad.
Depressed people.
Which is why I relate to them. Very depressed.
So what about were you mesmerized by the makeup video?
I started watching this shit, right? And she's talking about, and I think it was with a gay guy as well. Was there a gay kid? And I started getting really in. Like I was starting to I was bored. I was on a set, And again, I don't want to make you feel bad that I was on a movie
set.
You
just lost all your makeup YouTube watchers.
No, I'm saying that I was starting to get into it, and it made me fear for myself.
What?
Because what happens is you get into someone. It's like everybody now is just like Trump. Let's say Trump. Like people can't stop watching Trump because it's like watching a reality show.
Yeah.
He's a train wreck. So these YouTube things. Yeah, it's called Trump the Reality Show that we're watching. That's what our country is right now. Trump the Reality Show. You're like Trump. And these YouTube stars are like you're watching like these people just like live, and it kind of takes you out of yourself. So I understand their popularity mm-hmm. because they're like it's like a way to just escape yourself.
Yeah.
And it's different than TV, and why people like it is that TV is so produced and kind of predictable, and you know it's fake. These people are just kind of living their lives. They're making, and I'm just watching it back there going, holy shit, I got to stop watching this, you know?
Yeah, I don't get into those. I'm not into those videos, so I don't have that. But I have the same thing and just kind of zoning out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Well, we all do a little. We have to watch it.
It's like a drug. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the trick is not to think too much about it. You mm-hmm. know when you know intuitively when you've had enough and it's time to
just
stop.
Just accept that Big but Brother is here to stay.
Well, that is a whole other thing. That's Eddie actually plays to the camera. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I don't mind the surveillance state. Like you said, Big Brother's here to stay because I'm an actor and all the little cameras that are around, I play to them, you know, whether the CIA has turned my TV into, you know, a recording device.
I have Alexa. Yeah, so Big Brother.
Oh, I talked
to Alexa.
Yeah, you had a whole experience with Alexa, didn't you?
I have fights with Alexa. I just, me and Alexa are not getting along. Like, you know, she's been, like I asked her the other day to play Mozart, right? And she played a rapper. And I'm like, Alexa, you know,
is
so I got
there a rapper named Mozart?
I guess. But you would think that first on her algorithm.
She needs to be educated.
Well, you would think first on her algorithm would be the composer fucking Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. So I have to say Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. So I got into a fight with Alexa, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into a fight with a robot. You know what I mean? I don't want to get into a fight with a robot because...
I try to thank her every time she answers something right. Like positive reinforcement.
Artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. What is it? Not the synchronicity. What's it called again? The singularity.
Singularity.
Do you understand the singularity yet?
No, but I've heard of it.
Great.
I don't know what singularity is.
There we go.
It's when human intelligence and machine intelligence
merge.
And that's when machines are going to do things like vaporize us in the middle of...
Like, is that Stephen King's story, Maximum Overdrive? Or which is the story where machines take over?
That's Terminator.
There's a lot of...
No, Stephen King has a version.
There's a lot of stories.
Maximum Overdrive, but the machines just
that's
try
the
to...
trucks,
the trucks
right?
just try to run everybody over.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like trucks.
No, 2001.
They're very creepy.
A 2001 A Space Odyssey, Hal. That's the merging.
Yeah,
the
it's a classic story.
It's a classic story, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if there's going to be like kind of a backlash. I don't know. I was thinking today about a country that doesn't have any technology. Like what would happen if we just had spaces where like there just wasn't any? Mm. But think about it. Like when I was growing up, we didn't... I would leave the house and be like... Call my friends. Hey, I'll see you, you know, X place.
Mm-hmm. No, I would have no technology. My day, a scarf was the biggest technological advance we had, you know.
How did people connect? I mean, it must...
But I will
we
say,
connected the way, you know, they did in the old days. We you know, we would just be like, hey, Bob!
No, you'd go to a payphone.
We'd yell across.
And you'd call my friend's house.
You had
like,
numbers memorized, by the way.
We had numbers memorized.
You had numbers memorized.
Yeah.
That you knew your friends and family's phone numbers.
Well, listen, everybody. Solange, thank you so much for being...
Thanks for having me.
Our guest. You could get her special. Plug your special
again. A Journey of Self-Discovery is on Spotify for those who are on a budget. It's free. But if you want to support the arts, you can purchase it on iTunes or Amazon. And it's produced by Radland Records. And my website is solangecastro.com. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be on my fancy newsletter email blast, you can drop me an email and I'll add you.
What's your Twitter?
Oh, my Twitter and Instagram are both Solange_here.
And Solange likes to space out on those two sites, so give her a buzz on those.
Yeah, wake me up from my coma.
So, folks, rate us on iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, and like us on SoundCloud. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have likes. We would play in the ditches, and people noticed us, and they would throw rocks. The popular kids had their bones broken. Now everyone wants to be liked. Well, here are some people who like us with their words, because in this economy, who can afford rocks anymore? So Funny by Spawn Manually. 5 stars he gave us on iTunes. Another review. My husband... Oh, no, this is the review. So Funny was the headline. They rated us 5 stars. My husband and I listen to you on our way to and from work. We are catching up, and you are so funny. Thanks for making the commute bearable. Aww. Also, thanks to Kaiser Sozo. Sozo, who gave us 2 stars on iTunes. I mean, the stars go 1 through 5, so maybe his mouse got tired. Who knows? But at least he wrote a review, so God bless. Our engineers are Emma Erdbrink and Aaron Brungart. Aaron is here today. Producer Matt Rasamoto. Leave a message at 424-262-0904. You can email me at epepitone@sbcglobal.net. You could Facebook us at Facebook. At fb.me/pepitonefans, YouTube, pepitonepodcast.com. Again, I'll be in Chicago this weekend at lincolnlodge.com. You could get tickets. I'm in Chicago February 22nd and 23rd. Are we good? I think that's it.
That's it.
Right?
Man, all right. You guys are awesome.
See you, everybody. Thanks.